Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I think he's doing the right thing. You've got this explosion of diabetes in America among young people. For the first time, type 2 diabetes showing up in 9-year-olds and among the baby boomers who are retiring. And together, these things are going to bankrupt us. It's a terrible human tragedy. So if you get rid of these giant full sugar drinks and make people have smaller portions, it will help. I know a lot of people think, well, this is a nanny state and he's interfering, but these are very serious problems.
Fire. Brawlers, a charred and barbecued ribs, you get the treat of the week.
It is the Savage Nation. Bill Clinton discusses Little Brother in New York City. Little Brother Michael Bloomberg, who wants to tell you how much soda to drink and not to drink. And, of course, Bill Clinton, being a good New World Order liberal, agrees that Little Brother should have the right to tell you what to eat, drink, sleep, and say. The only question is, will Little Brother ban Big Bimbos for entering Manhattan? That's the only question. Little Brother's going to ban big sodas, but will he ban Big Bimbos from showing up in hotels late at night where the elite meet to eat? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. We open with a joke today. I hope you enjoyed it. If not, you're a very sad person. If you didn't laugh at any of that, you're hopeless, as a matter of fact. It is Open Mic to Mike Friday. The phone number again is 1-800-449-8255. I invite you to call. I can't guarantee that you'll get on, but if you do, you'll reach more people than you've ever spoken to for your entire life. Secondly, no one listens to you anyway. Even if you speak in America today, no one hears you. You've got to understand, no one listens to you unless you're a member of the Bilderberg Group. If you're a member of the Bilderberg Group, when you speak, people listen. And then they act upon your desires. So we're going to talk a little bit about the secretive Bilderberg Group. What it means, ooh, Bilderberg sounds so conspiratorial. A lot of right-wing nuts, you know, Bilderberg, ooh. Well, first of all, it sounds Jewish. That's right away that feeds their fervor. Jewish and banker. When you say Bilderberg, you think fat Jewish banker from, like a poster from the Nazi era. So that's why a lot of the right-wing racists hate the Bilderberg group. That's number one. So I actually did an analysis of it, and I'm going to ask you something. Do you know what the Bilderberg Group is? Do you know what they do? Do you know who's in it? Why do you fear the Bilderberg Group? What are they doing that frightens you? I'm going to give you a list of who they are, what their background is in a minute. But, you know, after you listen to the protesters and their screams, I'll tell you the truth, they can make you back the Bilderbergs. Who would you rather have running the world, the Bilderberg Group or the communists in the gutter who would take away everything you've worked for all your life? I mean, just ask yourself the question. Just ask yourself the question. Now, don't get me wrong. I wasn't invited, nor would I ever be. The only member of the media ever invited to talk to the Bilderberg Group is this faker, Charlie Rose. As you know, Charlie Rose is nothing but a mouthpiece for the power elite. He has no ratings and no audience. He talks to them, for them. I was shocked to see that Peggy Noonan was invited, although I'm not shocked because I've always felt she was a knee-jerk Republican. As brilliant as she is an old-line, checked-skirt Republican, so, you know, and she's with the Wall Street Journal, but why would they invite her? Along with Peggy Noonan, I see the following names who may in some ways trigger something in your brain. Like, for example, Fouad Ajami, senior fellow of the Hoover Institution. I noticed there's several people from the Hoover Institution, which explains why I've never been invited to the Hoover Institution. Even though it's in my own backyard, even though it's allegedly a conservative think tank, I've never trusted them. I've always felt it was basically a tool of the of the two-party Monty. That's all. Alexander, Keith B. Alexander, Commander, U.S. Cyber Command, Director, National Security Agency. I'm going to read only a few of the names. Kenneth Clark, Member of Parliament. Never heard of him. Mitchell Daniels, Governor of Indiana. Who's that? Goldman Sachs. Ooh, when you hear Goldman and Sachs, that's bad, right? Knee jerk. Ooh, bad. They're bad. Do you ever think maybe Goldman Sachs invested in things that permitted businesses to grow? I mean, which way do you want it? What country do you want to live in? Will you trade a bushel of corn for someone to do your laundry? I mean, where do you want to go here? You're living in a capitalist nation. Who do you think is going to be meeting to talk about how to run the world but capitalists? It doesn't mean everything they do I agree with, but for God's sakes, I mean, get off your stupidity, for God's sake. Bilderberg, Goldman Sachs, the standard anti-Semitic nonsense. That's all it is. Britt Harris, Teacher Retirement System of Texas. John M. Huntsman, Chairman Huntsman Cancer Foundation. Vernon Jordan, remember him? Vernon Jordan, a good friend of Bill Clinton, Senior Managing Director of Lazard. Gary Kasparov, Chairman of United Civil Front of Russia. John Ketchup Kerry, Senator from Massachusetts. And of course, you know he's going to be there. Henry Kissinger, lobbyist for China. And the head of Kissinger and Associates, Henry Kissinger, to see what he can get for his bosses at the meeting. Henry R. Kravis, co-chairman and CEO of KKR, Kohlberg Kravis Roberts. I wouldn't call them venture capitalists. I would call them vulture capitalists in my analysis. Kenneth B. Melman, partner, Kohlberg Kravis Roberts and Company. Kenneth Melman? Kenneth Melman? Wasn't he Republican hack here in California for a long while before they took him in and gave him a living? Peggy Noonan, author, columnist, The Wall Street Journal. Peter R. Orzag, vice chairman, Citigroup. Dimitri Papalexopoulos. I can never do Greek. Dimitri Papalexopoulos, Titan Cement Company. It's almost starting to seem like that scene in The Godfather. And now he's the chairman of United Sugar. Richard N. Pearl, neocon, famous neocon faker. He's the one who had his bombing Iran for many years. No one knows why. Stephen Ratner, former car czar. Stephen Ratner, now he's chairman of Willett Advisors, LLC. Charles Rose, anchor of the Charlie Rose Show that no one watches. Robert Rubin, chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, former Secretary of the Treasury, the man who destroyed our economy initially, in my estimation. Eric E. Schmidt, executive chairman of Google. Google. Peter D. Sutherland, chairman Goldman Sachs. Peter Thiel, Thiel Capital. And Kevin Warsh, the Hoover Institution. Finally, and last but not least, Robert B. Zoellick, president of the World Bank. So let's go back. We could talk about SOTA, New World Order, Bilderbergs. We could do anything. It's open mic to Mike Day. Yes, I'm back. I survived. I didn't do a midnight cowboy on the plane. When the plane landed, I was not dead in the seat. I wasn't dead in this. And remember yesterday, I had a little bit of a fear thing because I was in L.A., you know, and I have the symptoms still. I'll tell you point blank. I think I know what it is, and I'm using natural remedies. We'll see what happens in a week. I have Meniere's syndrome is what I think I have, which is loss of hearing, vertigo, dizziness, period, end of story. How severe it is, it's not any worse than it was, but it's not any better. So I'm treating myself the way I used to treat people when I was in nutrition practice 20 years ago. And I'm using massive doses of vitamin B6, niacin, et cetera. What triggered this? I mean, I don't want to go into my complaints, but I will if you want me to. I think I know what triggered it. It's pretty upsetting. Remember that scene with Sharon Stone where, I forget the movie, where she, what's that great movie in Las Vegas? Oh, Goodfellas. Casino. Where at the end she runs away with the guy's money and then she's found, you know, the last scene is her walking along a hallway. She's stoned out of her mind and then she dies in a rug. It's actually one of the finest pieces of cinematography in terms of drama I've ever seen, in terms of portraying, rather, what it feels like to be whacked out stone where she's holding the wall. I mean, have you ever been really drunk, which I have been three times in my life when I was younger, That's what it feels like when you lose your balance. You have to hold the wall, like feel your way along it, the way they did the camera angle. Just brilliant. Sheer brilliance. I think that was Scorsese, wasn't it? Whatever. It wasn't, I know it wasn't Walter Winchell. I think it was Scorsese. Anyway, that's how I've been feeling, walking around the house holding the wall. Holding the wall. But I did a show feeling that way yesterday. I'm still doing it. So as I say, you know, life goes on. I'm treating myself the way I would treat anyone who told me they had Meniere's. Let's say the symptoms of Meniere's syndrome. Because I remember I had someone and he was really sick and nobody could help him. No doctor in the world. And I remember putting him on certain herbs and B6. I researched my own books and I said, doctor, you know, heal thyself. We'll see. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. I'm MichaelSavage@.com. You want to start with some calls? Every year we got to New York, the Palm Beach, the Sacramento. Palm Beach. I gave it a new name today. I was comparing a town I know in Florida that I like compared to a town I don't like. I don't like Palm Beach because Palm Beach is like Beverly Hills, the same level of phoniness. And the people watching is on the face interesting, but beneath it, it's not that interesting. Whereas in the more blue-collar towns, the more beachy towns in Florida along that coast, I mean, you could see people and listen, they talk while licking ice cream. You know, as disgusting as they may look, shorts, guts hanging out, Slurpees, whatever, I don't care. They're human beings. Let me put it to you this way. If you fell down in the street in Palm Beach, they would step over you. They look like cannibals to me in nice outfits. Whereas if you fell down in the street in, let us say, one of the poorer towns in Florida, 50 people would run over to pick you up. That's the way the world is. So I'm going to do another Savage quotient. My quotient of 2 weeks ago is so genius, it should be remembered around the world forever, long after I'm gone from the airwaves, which is the higher the liberal quotient, the better the bread and the better the coffee. The lower the LQ, the worse the coffee and the worse the bread. So if you go to regions of Texas where the people are just great, the coffee is undrinkable and the bread is inedible. But on the other hand, if you go to like Berkeley, California, or San Francisco, or Austin, Texas, where the people are monsters, monsters. The bread is sensational. The coffee is amazing. So I'm going to give you another LQ, liberal quotient CQ, LQ CQ, which was about the stepping over thing, right? I was going to give you that, right? No, I can't do it yet. My mind is, it's not working 100% right now. I have a 16-cylinder mine, and I'm running on about 14 and a half cylinders. Do you mind if I have a good time in the next 3 weeks, which are going to be the best shows I've ever done in my life? Do you mind? Do you mind that little brother is telling you how much soda you can drink? I mean, common sense says, listen to what he said. He's not banning soda, little brother. He's making you buy it in 2 16-ounce Slurpees, for example. Now, what sense does that make? All it does is put more money in the pocket of the vendor. That's all he's doing. Remember, he said, I'm doing this in the venues I control, meaning grocery stores and like ballparks. So who's going to win on this? The guy who's addicted to soda is going to have to buy two of them now instead of one. And Bloomberg knows this. Bloomberg's a rich man, so you think he got rich by being stupid? He got rich by banning people and forcing them into doing things they didn't want to do. So let's say you're at a ball game and you're not a rich person. So you buy a 32-ounce soda and you split it with a friend and you save a buck and a half or $2. But go tell that to the Bilderbergs like Bill Clinton. I'll be right back.
Savage.
What grade would you give President Obama?
Oh, an F. No question about that.
Across the board?
Across the board.
Even despite the killing of Osama bin Laden?
Well, when I look at foreign policy and look at his decisions across the board in foreign policy, I look at the fact that he was looking to have a force of American troops staying in Iraq, securing what had been so hard won there with the status of forces agreement. He failed to achieve it. I look at what's happening in the Middle East. The Arab Spring has become the Arab winter. That's hardly a success.
They're listening to me. I told you they're listening to me. Did you hear that? Romney just said the Arab Spring is becoming the Arab winter. Thanks, Mitt. No, I don't care where I get. I'm a great man. I'm like a Chinese proverb. Remember the Chinese philosopher who wrote, it doesn't matter whether you get credit for what you say as long as people are saying it. Remember that? Do you remember that? Here he is ripping me off. Fine. At least his advisors have finally woke up. They're reading Trickle-Down Tyranny, and they're taking lines out of my book. Ah! There's hope for America yet. If Romney can become stronger by repeating lines from my book, he's going to win in a landslide. By the way, that's great. He said the Arab Spring's becoming Arab winter. Well, it's only 6 months after I said it, but nevertheless, better late than never. Unbelievable. Oh, Obama's in trouble. Stock market took a tanking, all following the weak U.S. job growth, also following the scam, the Zuckerberg scam, I call it. People say he had nothing to do with it. I said, really? Okay. That's why he's hiding in Italy and not tipping? He's not tipping, but he's afraid, you know, all these lawsuits, he may need it in the end. 1-800-449-825. Right. Obama has outspent the past five presidents put together. He is like King Ludwig II of Bavaria. He is a madman. You see, you don't understand that madness comes in many forms. You think madness has to be someone running around with foam coming out of their mouth. Madness can come in the form of a nice man, good-looking, nice voice, who's insane. It is possible that we have the first insane president in the White House. It's beyond comprehension how he gets away with it. What really astonishes me is how the Democrat Party elders have not yet taken him, let's say, and said to him, you got to stop pulling us to the left. You're destroying the party. They don't care about the nation, but he's destroying the party. That's all they care about, because the party never had it so good till he came along. And now the party seems they're in terrible disarray, and they're going to lose many seats. They're going to lose in a landslide because of this radical leftist who is basically outspending the past five presidents put together. So what I'm saying is they haven't told him yet? No. How do you reach a man who is so sure of himself? How do you reach Valerie Jarrett, who's really running the country? How? You can't. So let's talk about all these things. I mean, I got Bilderberg. I got the soda thing. I got the fact that Romney's using my line from Trickle-Down Tyranny. That alone should make you spring for the money and go buy the book, don't you think? Don't you think you owe it to yourself to finally see what everyone's talking about, Trickle-Down Tyranny? Why do you let liberals get best-selling books? See, this is the one thing that bothers me. The liberals at least back their own. You don't. Shame on you.
Savage.
Supremacist sport coat. And a pink car. There's a liberals here, a white supremacist sport coat. They hear white sport coat. They see a white sheet on Romney. White sheet is what Romney hopes to wear when he gets in the White House. Inside the liberal mind on Special K, welcome to the Savage Nation. Inside the liberal mind, everything is racist to them. What's embarrassing is what the Attorney General did. I mean, that's the most embarrassing speech in the history of government. To go before the Congressional Black Caucus and talk about racism when we have a black president, a black attorney general, many black heads of corporations, and to talk as though Jim Crow is right around the corner. You know, I have to say this, and I know it's a sensitive issue, but I'll say it in a way that you'll understand it. I was watching a show on Hitler. And after the Nazis got total power, they continuously had to dredge up enemies that didn't exist. They had to continuously make up enemies and make the enemy who did exist, who they exterminated, bigger than he ever was. And I said, you know, like a bell went off in my head. Look at what this group is doing. So, I mean, it gets you really at. People say to me, is Obama really as bad as you say, or is it for effect? You know what my answer is? He's worse than I say. He's worse. He's worse. He's worse. And what's amazing to me is CNN's ratings are the lowest in 20 years, which means that Obama's ratings are much lower than they're telling you in the controlled media. They bring in a slimy limey like Piers Morgan. The guy has the lowest viewership in history. A fall of 50%. Even Wolfie Blitzer, old Wolfie, bearded, respectable, phony as he is, on there for 20 years. And his show is down more than half, down 50%. Anderson Blooper, a useless idiot, lost a quarter of his viewers in the past 12 months. Piers Morgan, he had a low of 39,000 listeners in the all-important 25 to 54 bracket. I have that in 15 minutes on a bad day on one station. So I want you to understand something. If CNN's ratings, which can be, let's say, pretty well tabulated, are down like this, it means liberalism is down. It means Obama's down. But don't expect the media to tell you that. They are the media. If there was an election held today, Romney would win by a landslide, in my opinion. By the way, before I go to the callers on the show, and I am talking as though I'm inside a drum, I'm getting like resonance in my ears. It's awful. It's just awful. So anyway, a great editorial came out yesterday, editorial review rather, by Brett M. Decker from the Washington Times. He's the executive editor on my book, Trickle Down Tyranny. I have to tell you, I'm very proud of it because it's a very fine newspaper. We all know that. I'm going to read you a few pieces from the review. And the first line is the most important. Critics on the left and right jump to criticize Michael Savage for being too extreme in his political sentiments. Even with some of those who are on the same side on substance, there is a tendency to create a little distance by belittling Savage's direct go-for-the-throat style. For example, by saying his tone is too strident. When nobody can call into question is his success, with multiple bestsellers and a huge radio audience. His new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, shows why the famous Savage outrage is justified as well. Bad things are being done to this country to undermine its strength here and abroad. It is a sign of weakness not to be upset about it. He says, trickle-down tyranny isn't merely a catalog of federal sins. It's a how-to guide on fixing our national crisis. I'm reading just bullet points. The most poignant and most timely words of this book are found in the first two sentences. Quote, economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. Dr. Savage warns, the loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. Every member of the military should buy the book for that line alone. Or buy one for someone in the army instead of a salami for a boy in the army. So anyway, there are people listening to this show. They know I'm right. I mean, they know that I'm right, rather. They don't have to admit it. They're afraid to admit that I speak what they actually believe to be true. And they also know that Obama is the most dangerous, divisive president in American history. They know that. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. That review is on my website. You know what guiles me? I meet people all the time. If I meet them, they say, go to dinner. They listen to the show, right? They don't go to my website. They don't even understand what a treasure trove my website is and how they can get my free newsletter just by clicking on it on the bottom left and get free newsletters. I mean, why wouldn't you want to do that? And then follow me, you know, whether I move to Con Beach or not. I renamed Palm Beach Con Beach for obvious reasons. So we can talk about Con Beach. We can talk about Beverly Hills. I mean, it's very pretty, but oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Great bread. Actually, the bread isn't very good in Beverly Hills. I don't understand that. Very high liberal quotient, bad bread. It's an exception. I don't quite know. There probably no bakeries there, whatever. I don't really know. You got great bread in Berkeley, though. It's like the gourmet ghetto over there. Bilderberg, you want to know? Let me say the word Bilderberg a few times so the nuts can tune in. Bilderberg. Bilderberg, Bilderberg, Bilderberg Group, Goldman Sachs, Bilderberg, Joe and Paula Farragian, Bilderberg, Goldman Sachs, Bilderberg, Goldman Sachs. Who would you rather have running the country, the Occupy movement, and you trade a bushel of corn for a bushel of Kleenex? You idiots, you. Believe me, they have to be controlled, and they shouldn't be a secret of government. I'd like to know what they're talking about. Frankly, I think the Bilderberg Group should be televised so we can hear what they're saying. But they're entitled to meet. It's a private group. If the Congressional Black Caucus can meet in private, why can't the Bilderberg Group meet in caucus? Huh? You know what I'm saying? 1-800-449-8. Or soda. You want to get the generically down to the low level? Sacramento Roger, welcome to the Savage Nation from KSTE. 650 on the dial in Sacramento. What's on your mind, Roger?
How you doing, Dr. Savage? I recall a few months ago you had a show and you said you might be interested in marrying people. And my wife and I already got married, but we're doing the ceremony in San Francisco. wondering if you're interested in that.
Well, I don't know. Where are you doing it?
At the Fairmont Hotel.
Mm-hmm. And how much will you donate to my favorite charity?
Well, that's something you could tell me. We could discuss. I'd be willing to donate whatever you need, whatever you want.
Are you a wealthy family, or are you a working stiff?
No, sir. I work, got two jobs, and
I wouldn't take any money from you. Let me take it under advisement, Roger. And I, guys, get his email address. Let me take it under advisement. I don't know. Who knows what I might do? I don't know what I might do with this, the dizziness I have. I don't know if I want to fall off the dais while performing. You know, I mean, who knows? You know, it's like, you don't know. People like reading like actors, 70. I'm not sad that age. They fall. How do you fall in a house and die? That's a terrible way. A lot of that happens. House falls. It happened to Nancy Reagan, God bless her. A couple of weeks ago, she took a tumble right in the house. I don't understand that. What is like that? No, I don't mean her. The walking in the house. What's that? It's a hazard. Houses are hazards. Everything. I look around. Barbells on the floor. Statues, Chinese statues with swords on them. You know, Burmese statues of wood. I mean, I'm looking in my house like my little kind of a bronze on the floor I could trip on and stab myself with a spear. You look around. What can you live in? A rubber room where it's safe? Everything's a hazard. You could trip and fall into a computer and knock your eye out. A lamp, you could die. Now you start looking. It's crazy. The whole world becomes a nightmare. Tripping and falling in a house. That's what you got to look forward to. Oh, what tricks life has in store for all of us. Everyone at 40, they think they can take on the world. Oh, I'm going to conquer this. 100 lovers, no one's going to stop me. I'm immortal. I'm like Zeus. It ends up with you in a wheelchair, if you're lucky, in a nursing home, completely incapacitated, stuck and pushed into a corner next to a dirty curtain. And then an illegal immigrant beats you about the head and neck for the change that your family leaves you, the few dollars. And you can't even cry out. That's how it ends, no matter who you were. I don't care how powerful you are. That's usually the end. That's if you're lucky. If you don't just go out for die from a heart attack right on the spot. That's what you got to look forward to. The family, they leave you in the home, and that's it. Pushed in between two curtains with terrible dust. No view, nothing. And they laugh at you, abuse you, take the small change, your aspirin they take. The unsupervised nursing home that your parents put you, your family put you. I have a very dark sense of humor. Admittedly, I do. I really do. I mean, I have a very dark sense of humor. I laugh at it all. At the end of the day, what am I supposed to do? Crawl into a corner and scream? I'd like to. Who's going to listen? So I go to the radio station instead. I get in front of the microphone and tell you what I think is going to. Why are you listening? You know what's amazing about talk radio? People don't listen. Admittedly, am I right that today no one listens to anyone? Unless it's a child afraid of a father. Like, Donald, put that down. Don't you dare drink that. You know what I'm saying? A child will listen because he's afraid. A dog will listen. A husband and wife, no one listens. Let's say you're afraid of her. If you're a husband, you don't raise a voice to a wife anymore. You know already it's 911. But she'll open her mouth up to you, let's say, but do you listen? Yes, dear. Yes, sure, dear. And most guys, you ask them, they're not wimps. They've learned that several things you got to learn about women. One, none of them will ever admit that they've made a mistake. I don't care what the mistake is. They can ram the car into a wall because they were putting makeup on. They'll say it was the wall's fault. That's A. B, they'll never admit you were right about anything. And C, everything that's wrong in their life was caused by you. No matter when it happened, even before she met you, it was because she knew she was going to meet you. She had precognitive understanding that she'd meet you one day and it would ruin you. So she, you know what I'm saying? Like, even though you met when she was 21, when she had that accident at 18, it was because she had precognition that she'd meet you one day. And because of that, she had the accident at 18. That's the... Beowulf's laughing. All the guys who work with me are laughing. They're in their 30s. They've already learned already. The party's over. Poor Doug. Is Doug still out? Doug, we wish you well. If you're listening to the show, I hope you do get better. I really do. No dirty jokes. No, see, I don't know how he heard it. What is it, like tunnel carpal? No one knows. He tripped. That's terrible. He's a strong guy. See, I was joking about tripping. I didn't know he really. I knew a faker who pulled a tunnel carpal job 20 years ago for a disability job. He was like a failed poet. Oh, he walked around with a fake wristband. That was big in San Francisco for about 5 years. The fake wrist brace. They got the shice, the doctors and the chiropractors. Yeah, tunnel carpal. Okay, full disability. Next case. Next case. Busboy trips on the chair. Yeah, all right. Full workers comp. Next case. Yeah, line them up. Who's going to pay for all of this, Jerry? Jerry, who's going to pay for all your workers' comp voters? 1-800-449-8255. Phone number. Again, I got to talk now about what I started with the Bilderberg and the soda and Palm Beach. I got a double migraine from it already. Anything from Obama? Play an Obama soundbite just to get the audience tuned in to the president, please.
It's not Take this lost president. On anybody that it's an election year. I understand that. I've noticed.
That's enough. Just a little bit of the voice. That's all we need. Take this president, please. Symbol shot. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this again. When I say take this president, comma, please hit the symbol. You ready? Okay, so play Obama.
It's not
Obama.
Lost on anybody that it's an election year. I understand that.
All right, that's enough. All right, take this president. Please. Not. It's good timing. It's a takeoff on Henny Youngman. Take this president, please. Okay, it's not bad. It's like good for a live performance. We're working up a live performance here. Election held today loses by 25 points. They're freaking out. They're stopping Florida, who is trying to crack down on illegal aliens who are voting. Because they know, the Democrats know that they can't win unless they have the illegal alien voter. Do you understand this? How criminal this government is? I don't know how many different ways to say it. The Injustice Department told Florida election officials that they must stop their non-citizen voters purge. How in the world could the federal government be on the side of illegal aliens voting unless they themselves are illegitimate? It's beyond comprehension. It's beyond comprehension. It's unbelievable to me. How in the world could this attorney general get away with this criminal act of stopping states from purging their rolls of illegal aliens? This is beyond belief. This is incomprehensible how he gets away with this. And that's what Romney should be talking about next, which is the racism of this administration, the illegality of this administration. Stop with the Solyndra already. We know it's bad. Something is very wrong when our federal government turns a blind eye to illegal aliens voting, voter fraud, and harasses a state that's trying to clean it up. That is criminal. Nothing new in the Banana Republic of Florida. Nothing new. Nothing new in the Banana Republic of the federal government. How can anyone condone the presence of illegal aliens, felons, and dead people on our eligible voter lists? Why doesn't Eric Holder and his Department of Justice raise a concern about illegal voters before? Why didn't he? Answer, because without those individual categories, listen to what I just said to you. Without illegal aliens, felons, and dead people, the Democrats are finished. That's all. Pauline in New York, WOR. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mike, I was just commenting on what you were just talking about earlier about the old age home that you just in a wheelchair
yes.
up against a dusty curtain. It just reminded me of something Tony Soprano's mother said.
What?
From The Sopranos. She goes, what? You just die in your own arms.
She was right. Well, Matthew Weiner was one of the chief writers. He wasn't the only one. The script was astonishing, wasn't it? You still love it. I still watch it once in a while. Reruns, don't you?
Yes.
This you do? You admit that you actually go back and watch Sopranos once in a while because there's nothing left?
Yeah.
Wasn't she great, that actress, Lydia? She was something. That actress was amazing. She was amazing. You want to hear something shocking? I don't know. I have to do this quickly, then I'll take a break. I would watch The Sopranos, and I would see pieces from my radio show or my life. I didn't know how they were getting it. Like many of the shticks with the knife with the mother, that was a story I told about my mother. The dog Tippy. I had a dog Tippy. Did they get it from me? Why not? I've been around on the radio 18 years. They get it from different sources. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Hey, How do you feel about Eric Holder, the most problematic, the most controversial appointee to the Department of Justice in history, telling the state of Florida to not get rid of non-citizen voters in the state of Florida? How do you feel about that? It's frightening. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's take some callers. New York City, WOR. Pete, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
It's always a pleasure to speak to you, Dr. Savage. I want to respectfully disagree about the sugar yesterday. Although Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who bought the election, and unfortunately we might have ended up with a Dinkins or a Lindsay, and you know, instead of him. But he's no great eggs. But he's, what am I going to do? You know, there's like 8 packs of sugar in a can of soda. I mean,
listen, Pete, you're speaking to a man who wrote books about health for 20 years. I don't use sugar. I have purged it from my life as best I can. However, there's a big difference between teaching people what is good for them to eat and controlling what they eat through legislation. And it's called food fascism once you have a government telling you what you can and cannot eat.
Right. He should have done what the governor wanted to do, put the tax on the sugar. The other thing,
No, you're wrong. No tax on sugar. No. All no, right. No tax on sugar. Why doesn't he tax medical marijuana? Why are you laughing? Why do these liberal goony birds tell people to avoid sugar, fat, salt, but it's okay to use drugs? Why do they encourage them to use drugs?
No, you're right. You're right.
Well, of course I'm right. There's a conspiracy to have the population totally controlled by Little Brother. Little Brother Bloomberg. Of course there's rationale behind it, or we wouldn't even be talking about it. But remember what happens when you stop someone from buying a 32-ounce a Slurpee. They have to buy 2 of them. They'll buy 2 of them. Why? Because it costs more, and the ballpark makes more. End of story.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I look at what's happening in the Middle East. The Arab Spring has become the Arab winter.
I am the Michael Savage you've heard about. I'm the architect of all things conservative. Some may despise me on the right even, because I say the things they dare not say, or I say the things they wish they had the brains to say. And of course, those on the left don't like what they hear, obviously, because it's true. The truth hurts. So we're talking about a number of things. The Bilderberg meeting, like what is it really all about? Why are you afraid of it? The soda ban by Little Brother Bloomberg. What else did we touch on? I forget already. A lot of different things. The review of my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, by the Washington Times executive editor. Fabulous review. You got to read it. And things like that. So I'll take your calls on this beautiful Friday. It's also open mic to Mike Friday. So anything that's been on your mind, anything you want to talk about, any problems, questions, concerns, considerations, the Court of Savage Nation is now open for business. What do you want to talk about? I got the callers in there. Don't worry about it. So let's start with a caller. That's all. That's what you do. Let's start. Where's Larry in California? Larry in California, line 4. Larry in California, where are you calling from?
Apple Valley, Dr. Savage.
I'm sorry, Larry, where?
In Apple Valley. It's
Apple Valley. I'm sorry. Beautiful place.
It is. Just called today to give you some great news on a Friday. When Trickle-Down Tyranny first came out, it was very difficult for me to get the books, but I bought six. I bought two for my children. I've been in the private equity business for over 25 years as a president and CEO of lots of various companies, working for a number of different private equities. But anyway, I had Mitt Romney's home address because of several conferences I attended in Boston that was brought on by Bain Capital. So I sent him a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, along with a nice letter that actually, after I sent it, I reread it. That wasn't really so nice. It was closer to Dr. Savage writing it than me. But telling him that this is probably one of the best works that has been out, and I read lots and lots of books that I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm 65 years old.
And look, as a man in the equities business, you're not an ordinary person. And what's interesting is that if people listen to me, they can get the mistaken notion that I don't understand the economics, or I don't understand. I do understand economics quite well, and I also know that there's a great place in the world for investment capital, obviously. However, it's the pirates that have invaded the investment world that I basically attack and call out in the book. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's good and bad in all types of business, as you know, Dr. Savage, but I also sent two copies to Fox News, one to that knucklehead Bill O'Reilly, and told him that maybe in his next little fairy tale book that he writes, maybe he'll actually sit down and address something, get something out of the book, even if it's only one portion of the book that has to do with where we are. I mean, I told in the letter to Mr. Romney, I said, this is a roadmap for your election. Just follow it.
But Larry, look, he just quoted me when he said the Arab Spring is becoming the Arab Winter. Isn't that interesting?
It kind of makes sense why I dialed the phone so many times today, hoping on this Friday to get to talk to you. And I sent another copy to Mort Krautheimer, who's my best guy that I like at Fox News, because I think
you got to understand, Fox News has a vendetta against me for reasons I actually don't understand. I did call O'Reilly Leprechaun in a book I wrote about 5 years ago. I think that that's the reason that they don't want me near him. He's a very vindictive man and never forgets anybody who ever insults him. He's very thin-skinned. And it's his loss, frankly. But, you know, I'm way past caring, Larry, about what the Leprechaun may or may not do. I want to thank you as a listener for, let's say, putting your money where your heart is. And I really do appreciate that. And I thank you again. That's all. That simple. You know, did it make me richer? Think about it. Let's say I make $3 a book on royalties, I made $18 on that. You don't understand something. I'm not looking to get rich with the book. I'm looking to change the course of this election with the book. Do you understand that carrying it around is like a billboard? You think about a powerful title. You know, Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, changed the world for the better. That one title woke the world up to ecology. That's what they called the environmental awareness of that time, ecology. What did the words Silent Spring connotate or connote? They had the connotation that if we didn't stop the use of various pesticides, one day we would wake up to a silent spring because all the birds would be dead. Okay? And it did change the world for the better. And we realized that we are the bird. We realized we are the eagle. That although the eagle's egg was breaking because of the DDT, it was a portion of us that was breaking because we are the eagle. So she did a great service by writing Silent Spring in the 60s. I remember what a shock it was, the title. And I kept saying to myself, my God, look how important the title is. So when I say Trickle Down Tyranny and you carry that cover around, that cover alone is the message. Remember Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message? How about the message is the message? How about the message is the message? That says it all. You have a tyrant in the White House, surrounded by tyrants. living and acting out a tyranny. Right now, it's a minor tyranny, but mark my words, God forbid Romney blows this election or they get the illegal aliens to vote, as they're trying to do, or the trick voters from Brooklyn who can vote twice, once in Boca, once in Brooklyn. If that's permitted to go on and this tyrant wins again, it's all hands off. This guy will do everything he's ever dreamed of doing. You say, well, what really is that? Well, go back to Reverend Jeremiah Wright's sermons, and you might get an inkling of what they have in mind. That's all. End of story. Now let's move on. The soda, the whatever. I got one television show to look forward to tonight. Just those of you who are into entertainment, you know I'm a big watcher of... I really love Magic City, the Florida thing, late 50s. Hotel owner needs money, takes in a Jewish gangster as his partner, and the rest is history. It's astounding. Not as good as The Sopranos, and it's on an offbeat, you know, Stars rather than HBO. But the sets are amazing. The women are gorgeous. The cars are astonishing. The dialogue is, well, really tightly written. So tonight is like, I've been waiting for it. I don't know. They didn't run one last week. I want to see what happens to the hotel owner now that he's in a squeeze. He's being squeezed by the gangster, who, by the way, Danny, whatever his name is, who plays the gangster, is a really unsung great actor. This guy's amazing. I remember when I was in L.A., I was telling them various actors that I liked. I like Vito Morgenstern. I was thinking of Horowitz and Marguerite. I know. I thought of Horowitz and Marguerite and Matzah. Vito Mortensen, and they said he's Danish. I said, remember in that movie where he plays the Russian gangster and the fight in the bathhouse? I thought that was amazing. His best role, Vito Mortensen, was in, I first came to notice him as an actor, was in Carlito's Way, where they talk about him, right? And they show him in a flashback how he was a suave greeter in a certain private club. And now he's coming to visit Al Pacino, the Al Pacino character, in a wheelchair, all beaten up, you know, dirty. And he says, what are you going to do? What are you, shoot me? Go ahead, kill me. Look what I got here. Remember when he catches him with the wire? It was an astounding piece of acting. You try it sometime. It's funny, like I was with actors. So here I am telling them which acting scenes I like. They didn't ask for that. That would be like them telling me which talk shows they like. I would have been insulted. I didn't even realize. They'll never go to dinner with me again. I realized I shouldn't have done it. I got enthusiastic. I wanted to tell them which actors I liked and in which roles, but they didn't ask me. I was just talking. But then I realized if they did the reverse, they tell me, hey, did you hear me? Did you like what he said, Rush Limbaugh? I would have been insulted. I shouldn't have done that. See, it just shows you in retrospect the things you figure out. That's why it's better me and the dog at the end of the day. You can't insult a dog. That's the beauty. He doesn't know if you're insulting him. You little runt, you. He doesn't know if you're calling him a little runt. That is, he thinks you love him. It's all in tone. That's what makes humans so great, our language. We're all about language, right? That's why I hate inarticulate people. That's why I can't stand rap singers. That's why I hate the media. I hate illiteracy. It drives me crazy. I mean, if you have a language, why not use it? Why not use the words that are in the dictionary instead of, I know 50 words of English. I know 50 words of English. And I make 50 mil a year. It's like a glorification of stupidity. You know what I'm saying? I don't like people to say, you know what I'm saying either. That's why I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, to see if I can get your attention. Language is everything. Language is everything we have. That's what makes us human. Almost more than anything else is our language, our use of language. And the illiteracy that is being proffered by the media is incomprehensible. All right. Let's go to the callers. We haven't done one Bilderberger yet. Bilderberg. Fresno, Carmine, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. Listen, you're such an educated man, and you're always telling us how many degrees you have. So I know you are aware, as well as your audience must be, because if they're prolific readers, they must know that the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderberg Society are all part of this one, this New World Order. It's made up of industrialists, made up of, I think your presidents ever since 1910, at least FDR. And
so wait, all of what you said is true. So who would you rather be running the world, the Occupy movement that would like to take away everything you own?
Or the rich bankers and the Rothschilds?
Wait, you're not answering me. You're still talking. Who would you rather be running the world, I'd like to know? Hello?
Yes. I guess your conspiracy group,
Carmine, you're not making any sense. You're giving me a reading list that I've heard 1,000 times about the evil bankers and this and that, and I'm asking you a simple question. Assuming they are a conspiracy to run the world, who would you rather have running the world?
Those people.
Okay, no answer. You see, this is the stupidity that I have to deal with. Do you realize how many gullible people there are out there? All you got to do is say banker, international, New World Order. Ooh, they're out to get you. So who do you want running the world? Tell me who, the richest people or the poorest people? Would you like, let's say a peasant in Western China who takes the gallbladder out of bears? Would you like someone in China who uses African ivory for his male enhancement and they kill elephants for him? And let's see, somebody from Africa who doesn't use toilet paper and has never seen a toothbrush. And let's see, a Marxist from NYU. Who would you like making a plan for the future of the world? You figure it out, idiot. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is. Come Go With Me by the Dell Vikings. This was such a great song for me in high school. I loved it. Working in the pharmacy, homework, the algebra, meatloaf on the walls, cyanide on the weekends. I mean, what could be better? People went on dates. I cleaned bronzes with cyanide in a basement like out of a Dickens story. That's why I am the man I am. Is it still playing? I can't hear it. It's dead. Are still living the Dell Vikings? Anyone seen them recently in Fort Lauderdale by the nude beach? I once went down to Fort Lauderdale. All the Italian guys from Brooklyn are sitting there looking down at the French girl. What do you want from them? Who are they hurting? She's walking around. What do you expect them to do? Look up at his grandmother? It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Wake up and fly right. Fly on the wall. You can't even say fly right. Sounds like a right-wing fly. Wake up and don't fly left. It's the horn. I mean, this is amazing. That's amazing music. Amazing music. I wish I could play an instrument. I really do. Sunday afternoons, I go to this Latin club. I'm not going to say where. And I was talking to a musician last week. And I was watching the guys. I thought the guy was so talented. I was amazing. You know, he was from Uruguay. And, you know, he's playing conga drum. He's a leader. Great singer. You never heard of this band. The guy's terrific. So I look at how talented these men are up on the stage. And his flute player was a woman. She was astonishing, almost as good as Fajardo. They were all astounding. So I was talking to a guy in the, you know, listening to the music, and some people were dancing. And he told me he's a drummer himself, and he was really amazed how good the guy was. So I said, I wish I could play an instrument, blah, blah, blah. He said, look, I said, do you think I could buy a ukulele and start with a ukulele? He laughed. He said, what do you want to do that for? I said, I don't know. If I got a ukulele, I could probably learn to play it like Arthur Godfrey. Entertain the dog, you know, if I go on stage and do a lecture tour and open with a ukulele, it's a fun thing. He said, no, string instruments are very hard to learn. He said, they're very hard. They're hard on your fingers. He said, learn to play the piano. I said, are you kidding? He said, no, it's the easiest instrument to learn how to play. Of course, you have to be a genius to play it on a phenomenal level. But he said, it's very easy to understand because it's visual and it's easy on your hands. See, now a thing like that was very interesting to me. What you learn from talking to strangers. So don't look at your iPhone all day long. Talk to people.
Savage. Dr. Savage, welcome to the program. Read your book, Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. Yet once again, your 27th book, I believe it is, you have managed to not only take us to where we are today, but to really well project into the future what it is we're looking at if we go not so gently into that socialist night.
Jerry, you know, when I wrote the book, I was saying to myself, you know what it is to write a book. You wish that it's in time. You hope you have enough material that people understand that it's not about today. It's about tomorrow. The day it's published, Obama attacks the Supreme Court, saying this group of unelected people, as though he's talking about a flash mob in a coffee shop. And he still hasn't backed down from what he did. I think even the midstream media today showed that they're terrified, that they understand finally who they're dealing with, this king in the White House.
He doesn't seem to be constrained by the Constitution, by the rule of law, by the Supreme Court. He seems to have determined that he is the be-all, end-all, and that he is much like Yul Brynner's character in So Let It Be Written, So Let It Be Done. He says it, therefore everyone has to fall in line. I know you're not, and hopefully a lot of people read Trickle Down Tyranny and join in this cause to push back against this tyrannical power grab in America.
Well, remember this. He's overseeing the transformation of our society into the ultimate entitlement state. He himself is exemplifying a man with an entitlement mentality where he says, I am entitled to do as I wish. I am the king. I'm the president. I don't care about the separation of powers. I am the ultimate authority. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Big deal. Do something about it. I have the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, DHS. I have the FBI. What are you going to do to me? I mean, look at the man's face, Jerry. Jerry, this is serious. We're in very serious trouble here because although the Republicans have made a good issue of it, it's not a big enough issue. There should be calls for a congressional investigation of this man right now for what he said to the Supreme Court. Many of us see it as an overt threat, by the way. Do you see it as a threat?
I absolutely do. I mean, when I look at how he has basically ruled with a steamroller, where he will overrule any of the bankruptcy laws, the forced bankruptcy of General Motors, the forced marriage of Chrysler and Fiat, whether it's just calling senior debt holders speculators, whether it's in any fashion that he envisions this attempt to, I think, overwhelm the body politic and to overwhelm the free market capitalist system, to bring it to its knees, and then to have government be the ultimate savior, I think is his endgame. And I think you pointed out so well in Trickle Down Tyranny.
Well, trickle-down tyranny is no joke. This is just the beginning. These are the baby steps of what he's taking. Now, he's testing. Remember when the Muslim Islamists were testing us? What were they calling them? Trial balloons or something, when they'd go and see how far they could get away with the airline situations. Remember that?
Right.
Okay. I think Obama's testing the limits of how far his power grab can go right now. And I think that he doesn't even understand what he did here. Because what are the consequences? It's like a child who keeps pushing the parents around, and he does it through incremental steps until eventually the parents give up and throw up their hands and say, I can't do anything with him. He's out of control. And they can't control the child. In many ways, Obama is on one hand acting like a spoiled brat. Many people don't believe that. But you have a childishness to him that can be equally dangerous. And then you have a very mature, dangerous politician from the ruthless Chicago political machine who is treating the American people sort of like an afterthought rather than the fact that we elected him, so to speak. I didn't vote for him, but nevertheless, he is the president of the United States, and we have to abide by the laws. But do we have to abide by his tyranny? I don't think so. Where is it written that we have to abide by his tyranny?
We don't. We have a duty, actually, to push back against a tyrannical takeover of the country. When you, Dr. Savage, look at this creeping incrementalism, would you agree that the Democrats play a better political game than the Republicans, where they're relentless in their pursuit of power, and the Republicans every once in a while throw out a volley and a report or a budget and say, here with a press conference, look at what we're doing today. The Democrats just seem to be like a tidal relentlessness on the rocks on a jetty, and they just wear the edges down over time.
Yes, because they have a few things going for them. They have a sense of self-righteousness. They have a sense of entitlement. They have a sense of fake grievances. And the Republicans are like the punching bag for them. This is why the Tea Party came along, Jerry. The Tea Party said, we're not the Republican Party. We're the American people. We are not going to play ball with gangsters. You're not doing your job. We're going to replace you. And, Jerry, there was an election in 2010, which you well remember. What was it, 78 seats changed hands across the land, and they all went, with the exception of two or three, they went to the Republicans. We've had a mandate against Obama's imperiousness and his socialist policies, and yet the media would have you believe, oh, it's all up for grabs, you don't know what's coming in November, God, it's so close. Nonsense. This is the most divisive, despised president in American history, and I believe that unless he rigs the election, which I fear he's already done, he's going to be sadly disappointed when he loses by 20 points, even to the tepid Mitt Romney. But, you know, I just raised another point, Jerry, and I covered it on my show yesterday. Who controls the voting? It turns out that a Spanish holding company now controls the results of our elections, Jerry. You heard that story?
Yes, I did.
Do you realize, I'm sorry to say it rhetorically like that, you realize, I'm talking to a talk show, you realize, of course, Jerry Doyle, you realize, of course, being the man you are, what this means. How did the Republicans let this happen? A Spanish holding company of money manipulators now control the computers which count the elections in America? Wait a minute. How did they permit this? So I'm not so sure he's going to lose.
This is the political voting version of what you were spearheading with the Dubai World Ports deal. We don't want the ships to come in and not have some security functionality that we would want to maintain here. But now we've, in a certain way, we've allowed foreigners to come in, take over, and control without us having a check and balance on what the outcomes of elections could be. And much like the Dubai World Ports deal, this is something else that you would think that others would be on board with, but they're more concerned about selling concert tickets and keychains and doormats and whatever it else is that are hawking that day.
You know, Jerry, what's the value of a book? Okay, you see a pretty face of a curmudgeon on the front cover, but is there any reason to buy a book? One page alone in that book is worth people either tearing the page out, which I hope they don't do, and showing it to people. And it's, I think it's page 245. I don't remember. I don't have it with me, believe it or not. And it describes the board of directors of this Spanish holding company and the entire scheme of stealing our votes. The votes are being counted. I don't think people understand this, Jerry. They go in a voting booth and they think that this is some secure system that can't be hacked. My friends listening to the Savage Nation, do you know if your vote even counts anymore, or have they decided how many votes to give to Obama in advance? Is that why he whispered to Medvedev, when I'm reelected? Is that why he said it again a few days later, when I'm reelected, Jerry? Does he know something that we the sheeple don't know, Jerry?
Well, these are great questions. One of the things, Dr. Michael Savage is with us, number one New York Times bestselling author, host of The Savage Nation, michaelsavage.com, the website. The book is Trickle Down Tyranny, amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, all major retailers. You can get it at Dr. Savage's site. Amazon will link to it at ours. In looking at what it is that you have studied, what you know, what you see, and what you well lay out in Trickle Down Tyranny, one of the things that galls me is how the others that are supposedly on the same team we are, conservatives, independent conservatives, but then Republican conservatives, aren't stepping up and saying, I got to get Dr. Savage's message out to my audience. That includes Rush and Hannity and Levin and Fox. And these are trumpet calls that you talk about in the book about the future of the country, but yet they don't want to play ball with you.
How about you, Jerry? Have you been invited on Fox recently?
No.
Okay, so there's a blacklist. There's a blacklist at Fox News that is equal to that of CNN. They're only slightly different than CNN. Some of the fellows and ladies on that network are quite nice and good and mean well. But there's something wrong with the whole picture, and I think I know what's wrong. It's too big a story, but frankly, I cover the issue between Murdoch and Obama in my book. And I believe that we all know that Murdoch's in very bad trouble right now with the UK government. But what people don't understand is that Eric Holder has him in his sights for a similar situation here in America. This is why Fox News recently hired Jesse Jackson's daughter as a commentator, if you can believe it. This is how far they've fallen. This is why outlets like NBC and MSNBC would have a street rat like Al Sharpton on a network as a talker. This is why they would forbid Michael Savage and Jerry Doyle from appearing on their network. It's because they're afraid of the Obama administration and they're trying to placate them.
And they're also, I think, afraid of the failures of the Republican Party, of which they are the media echo chamber. But they have given us, yet time and time again, another Mitt Romney or a Johnny McAmnesty or a aura. And
I never heard the Johnny Mc. Would you call him Johnny McAmnesty?
Johnny McAmnesty and Mitt Romney. I mean, that's who they've decided to give us. But yet, in spite of that blacklisting or whatever we would call it, you have managed and your audience has managed to make you and keep you a number one New York Times bestselling author and reward you with the ratings of the Savage Nation. I can only imagine what the numbers would be if you got that exposure to the aforementioned Rush, Hannity, Levin and Fox.
Yeah, but you see, I'm philosophical about it. After a certain number of years of struggling so hard, what I do is I actually thank God every day for what I have, because it's impossible to control outside of the universe in which I live. I can't control how they think or what they do. And so I could look at it the other way and say, what if I were a completely unknown American, like most listeners who have no radio show and no books, and they're burning up inside, Jerry. They're burning up. They're about to explode from the Republicans and the Democrats, and they don't know what to do. So in many ways, you and I speak for them, and we write for them. And trickle-down tyranny really is a warning of what's coming, unless they say, here's what they have to say themselves: as bad as Romney is, as tepid as Romney is, we better vote for him. We have to be activated. Right. That's right. What I'm afraid of, is they won't even come. I'm afraid they won't vote for him.
We'll have to see how that plays out, and we'll be sure to continue what it is that you see for the future, old wise sage Dr. Michael Savage. The book is called Trickle Down Tyranny: Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all major book retailers. Savage Nation is the radio show, third largest in the country. I appreciate it, Dr. Savage. Continued success to you, sir.
Jerry, God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Well, there have been a few recall elections, and there's a long, long list now of left-wing losses at the voting polls. No matter what the media tells you, no matter what the fake pollsters tell you, democracy still exists in America. Conservatives are still the majority. It's a growing majority, by the way. Every poll that you really can trust has been showing America's move to the center-right. And frankly, every time we're given the right to vote, a conservative position wins. I haven't seen a left-wing position win other than being forced on us by three-judge panels, two-judge panels, et cetera. The stench from the bench is making me clench. You have to understand what just happened in Wisconsin. You have to understand that Governor Walker is still there. You got to understand that the unions just lost a big battle. One after the other. The contest that the Democrats keep calling a dry run for the 2012 presidential election has been lost. You understand that? Their new battle, the illegitimate left, their new battle is the voter ID laws that people are trying to put in place in states around America. They're turning it into a war on blacks, a war on women, a war on Hispanics. What it really is, an attempt to uphold the Constitution and the whole concept of voting itself. And this is what we're facing right now, an illegitimate government, an illegitimate union presence, but the people themselves are winning. So don't give up so fast. Chuck, and by the way, this goes to the why CNN's ratings are the lowest in 20 years. To me, that's a bellwether of what's coming, unless they rig the election through the computers, the counting and whatever, or permitting illegal aliens to vote. If the election were held today, fair and square, Obama would lose by 20 points, by what I see. What do I base that on? I base that upon what's happened since he's in power, and I base it upon the ratings of CNN, which are now 20 points down. So what does that tell you? It tells you liberals have abandoned the media because these media outlets are not even liberal. They become absolute left-wing fanatics, and even liberals don't want to listen to them anymore. You know, just because a person is a liberal doesn't mean they're irrational. They have survival as an operational principle in their lives, just as you do. So they start to see this fanaticism supporting the Occupy movement, which wants to take away a liberal's house as much as it wants to take away a conservative's house. They want to take the bank account away from a liberal as well as a Republican state. So I'd say even a liberal can add up that they can't afford this to feed and house and medicate every illegal alien from Mexico. Even a liberal fears a dirty bomb in New York City from the Islamo-fascists. So they don't watch it. They don't want to hear it anymore. They don't want to hear this propaganda day and night. Day and night, liberalism on CNN has become morphed into something other than liberalism. It's morphed into extremism in the defense of communism. And so they turned it off. That's why I'm seeing what's going on. That's why I say what is going on in the media ratings is indicative of what's going to go on at the election, in my estimation, unless something dramatic happens before then. And there will be something dramatic. As I'm sitting here, there will be an October surprise, but it will happen in August or September. As sure as I'm standing here, both the United States, Britain, and Israel, all of them, will attack Iran. They've been waiting long and long enough. But, you know, that's a very big question unto itself. Here is the Hobson's choice that Israel has right now. If Israel were to attack Iran, as they should have done a long time ago, to protect their people from a second Holocaust, this time a far worse Holocaust, a nuclear Holocaust, they would be condemned by the world for having done so. Israel literally has to have a region of its nation or a city fry before they can strike back. Do you know that? That's the position they've been put in by the vermin in the media and by the Obama administration. This is not Ronald Reagan backing Israel. This is Obama stabbing Israel in the back, not backing them. They know it too. So the fact of the matter is, though, Obama probably will permit Israel and back Israel in an attack on Iran in order to get reelected. Two things happen if they do it. One, the issue of whether he's a strong leader, he took down bin Laden and he attacked Iran. You can't fault him on that if he does it. That's number one. Then there's the all-important money coming from Jewish sources. I mean, it's almost an uncomfortable statement to make, but there's tremendous amounts of money and a very small population of listeners and voters. And the fact of the matter is they've been withholding money from Obama because they're not sure where he stands in Israel. And so that's another big factor in the election. You got to understand that. I mean, I'm a realist. I give you reality here at a certain point. I may joke around, but at the end of the day, I mean, I do float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Thank you, Muhammad Ali. Pennsylvania, Chuck, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello, Mike. Listen, as a former CNN, the first special assignments correspondent, I take issue with some of what you're saying about CNN. Do what we veterans do. We call it CN. Because there's no news, it's just a cable network, or currently no news. But for those of us who initiated CNN in its early days, we did bang-up work and did a lot of...
Well, of course you did, but the fact is I'm talking about their ratings collapsing under the current administration at CNN. That's what I've been focusing on. That's like the lowest ratings in 20 years. I didn't say CNN was always bad.
Okay, well, the impression is that. But there's another issue. There's a management issue here. When Fox started eroding CNN's ratings years ago, instead of continuing the march, going on where news is king, they became talk show oriented. And that's a reflection of what you said about...
Well, they put lightweights on, like Anderson Cooper. He doesn't belong in prime time. He's only there for a reason I don't have to mention on radio. He has no ratings. Do you think Piers Morgan is an American broadcaster? That's slimy limey. I mean, they've made some critical errors, and they won't correct them. That's the problem. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Most important article that I can point to on michaelsavage.com appeared from the executive editor of the Washington Times, Brett M. Decker, called Savage Damnation, Obama Administration Unmasked. And it's a fabulous analysis of Trickle-Down Tyranny, the most important book for crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. Here's what Mr. Decker wrote. Critics on the left and right jumped to criticize Michael Savage for being too extreme in his political sentiments. Even with some of those who are on the same side on substance, there is a tendency to create a little distance by belittling Savage's direct go-for-the-throat style. For example, by saying his tone is too strident. When nobody can call into question is a success, with multiple bestsellers and a radio audience of 10 million. His new book, Trickle-Down Tyranny, shows why the famous Savage outrage is justified as well. Bad things are being done to this country to undermine its strength here and abroad. It is a sign of weakness not to be upset about it. Trickle-Down Tyranny, he writes, isn't merely a catalog of federal sins. It's a how-to guide on fixing our national crisis. Savage writes something amazing. The most poignant and most timely words of this book are found in the first two sentences. Quote, economies can be rebuilt. Armies can be repopulated. But once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored, Dr. Savage warns. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. How do you like that? Dr. Savage has the third largest radio program in America for a reason. He offers a damning critique not only of the Obama administration, but also the half of the population that put him in office and still supports his devastating policies. Reading through the pages of Trickle-Down Tyranny, the reader can't help but question whether or not the majority of Americans have the belief in our founding principles and the fighting spirit to do what it will take to turn this mess around. The answer will be revealed in November's election. Thank you, Mr. Brett M. Decker of the Washington Times, for that fabulous review. Forget the communist Occupy leftists. Here are protesters at this year's 2012 Bilderberger Group meeting.
The actual conspiring is kind of not a nature of there's a conspiracy for this or for that as much as a continuous nature of the superclass of the most rich and powerful people in the world colluding to continue and perpetuate their own power. I mean, as simple as that.
Of course we want to see the Managed Funds Association called before Congress. Of course we want to see the hedge fund operators who busted our economy, as I pointed out, in trickle-up poverty a year or two ago. Of course I would like to see them up on Capitol Hill, but you never saw them call before Capitol Hill. Of course we'd like to see former Treasury Secretary Paulson call before Congress, but you're not seeing any of this. Instead, the street vermin are being used to distract you from what's really going on. Do you remember what Bill Clinton was doing to us? The China Gate, the Cattle Gate, the this gate, the that. They were all real scandals. And what did the fawning media do, the complicit media do? They focused instead on Monica Lewinsky. They distracted you with Monica Lewinsky because they knew that the average person could easily be distracted by any sex scandal over any real social scandal.
Here's Bill Clinton supporting little brother Michael Bloomberg in Bloomberg's effort to ban large sodas in New York City. How about large bimbos?
I think he's doing the right thing. You've got this explosion of diabetes in America among young people. For the first time, type 2 diabetes showing up in 9-year-olds and among the baby boomers who are retiring. And together, these things are going to bankrupt us. It's a terrible human tragedy. So if you get rid of these giant full sugar drinks and make people have smaller portions, it will help. I know a lot of people think, well, this is a nanny state and he's interfering, but these are very serious problems.
Why does little brother Bloomberg think it's his right to tell people what to eat? Where does this dopey billionaire get the right to impose his views on people? How do you feel about little brother telling you you have a limit on how much sugar you can drink? You know, after smoking and fats and soda, what do you think liberals will try to ban next? Don't you see this for what it is? They ban everything that you like except marijuana, which they are encouraging you to use under the false notion that there's some medicinal value to marijuana when there isn't. Don't you see the conspiracy here? Don't you see that they're doping the population in order to manipulate you and to keep you under their thumb? Now, there's a tune I could play right now.
Driving that train, pound cocaine. Casey Jones, you better watch your speed.
Is he going to ban large bimbos for entering Manhattan? Obama's brain, David Axelrod, was booed the other day when he went to Massachusetts. He didn't get a really good reception. I guess even in Massachusetts, they're onto this group.
A recent poll showed Governor Romney trailing badly here in his home state. These may be the only voters right here for Mitt Romney in Massachusetts. It's a harsh judgment from the people who've come to know him best. You know, it's been a century since a man was elected president of the United States while his neighbors were rejecting him. The message Massachusetts seems to be sending as they listen to Romney reprise his familiar pitch is fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Romney economics didn't work then, and it won't work now. You can't handle the truth, my friends. That's the problem. You can handle the truth, you quiet down. You can shout down speakers, my friends, but it's hard to etch-a-sketch the truth away.
And here's Obama speaking to his army of adoring fans.
You know, if you got $3,000 a year extra, that helps you pay down your credit cards, that helps you go out and buy some things that your family needs, which is good for business. Maybe somebody will be replacing some thingamajig for their furnace. They've been putting that off. But if they got that extra money, they might just go out there and buy that thing. Right? Look.
Would you say that this man is a frugal president by comparison to other presidents? Would you say that the way he lives and the way he vacations and the way his wife vacations, you know, she has 40 personal assistants? Do you know that she travels with an entourage where they book entire hotels? Would you say that these are frugal inhabitants of the White House? You know that they're not. You know that they're trashing the White House. You know that they've debased the presidency with their actions, their policies, their behavior.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Chicago, Bruce, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I appreciate your dedication and work. And I just want to ask your opinion when you have sinus congestion, cold, and trying to get over it, using a neti pot.
You know, you ask the wrong person. These hippie, let's start with this. I mean, I am an expert at herbal medicine. I've written books on homeopathy and such, and I do believe to a certain extent in alternative medicine. So let's frame it that way. However, when it comes to sticking a neti pot with salt water into my nostril and having it run all over my clothing, I mean, there's a limit to how far into the third world healing I am willing to go. If you're interested in using something in your nostrils because of sinus congestion that's a little less dramatic, I would suggest buying a little salt water, you know, the saline sprays in a drugstore.
Yep.
Or, for that matter, you can mix salt water in your own house and inhale it. It'll run down your throat and all over your neck anyway. The neti pot thing is very, very Nelly. It's very Nelly. I'm sorry.
You've tried it with the spout in the nostril?
I haven't tried it yet. I was told about it and didn't know if it was going to be anything.
There's something icky about the neti pot that I can't get into. I mean, if I were to use a neti pot on a clogged nostril, it would have to be in a bathtub. It's going to run all over your neck, down on your lip. I mean, you want, like, mucus on your neck? You know, the reason they could use it in India is that they basically don't believe in dry cleaning, number one. And number two, they could do it while they're swimming in the Ganges River. You know, take your neti pot and go have a bath in the Ganges. But it's not made for Westerners who are sitting in a normal environment who basically want to wear a white shirt and tie in the morning, you know. But look, to each his own. Today in America, anything goes, including neti pots, I suppose. Andy in Chicago. Is that Jandy or Andy? My eyes are blurry. Andy, what's on your mind, Andy?
You know, it's a curse when people call you with stuff like that because you're so graphic. I'm just cringing in my car. So,
No, I have a gift with words, but if he's going to ask me about a neti pot, what can I say to him other than there's a certain limit to how much into the third world I'm going to go? I do not want mucus from my nose all over my collar, no.
But it's just horrible the way you describe it. It's like I'm sitting in my car and it's real. Stop yourself. Hey, I want to talk about gardening. First of all, I have two dogs that are diggers. I don't have a lot to I need to plant in a pot. And also, more importantly, I don't want to know what you're planting this year.
I planted tomatoes, Italian parsley, basil, and I have a bunch of fruit trees. However, almost all my fruit trees are infected with a fungal disease this year, which is common now in the San Francisco Bay Area. They all have a curly leaf disease, which is caused by a countywide fungus. So unfortunately, the trees are being sprayed. We are spraying them with an organic spray, so the fruit will still be useful, but it's pretty horrible to see that.
How about something that maybe you could plant? I have a 9-year-old daughter who wants to plant carrots. And I have two dogs that love to dig. Our
carrots are good, but, you know, I don't know. Do you cook? So Italian parsley's nice to plant. I'm very impressed with the pots that they give you now that come out of nurseries, which have they're like an earth pot that you can put right in the ground. Have you seen them? They're amazing.
No.
You gently tear the bottom of the pot off. They have the seedlings in them, right? And you gently tease off the bottom of the pot, which is sort of a compost paper type of pot. And then you pull out the tendrils very delicately. You tease them out. You dig a hole. You put the whole pot right in the ground. It's got pre-fertilized. And this is the most amazing thing that they've developed. So it's almost impossible to screw up having something grow. I mean, I planted my tomatoes out here in California in very late March. I prefer planting them in early March, but they were not available. You want to get the tomatoes in by early April, the latest on the West Coast. But you're in Chicago, which is just the right time for you, right?
Right. Right now, I mean, we got a little bit of weather and, you know, Mother's Day, so I'm going to put my wife to work planting.
Yeah, but, you know, plants are amazing for children because I remember as a kid, you talk about graphic. I remember in the third, fourth grade, they had us grow lima beans. Kids don't know the first thing about reality. When we sprouted lima beans and I saw a shoot come out of it, I was astounded to understand that inherent in a bean was life itself. In other words, the whole concept of living foods came home to me crystal clear. It's a beautiful thing to teach your children how to plant things.
That's what she learned was when we planted a bean, you know how the bean actually comes up, the shell of the bean comes out of the ground on the plant? That's what actually got her very, very excited about it.
That's right, and it takes the child's mind away from the computer and away from the fantasy on the computer into the reality of the earth. There's really nothing better. I'm 100% for little, even gardens in cities. You could do them in windowsills. If you got sunlight and you keep up the watering, you can do them there. But I don't want to do a gardening show. I mean, gardening is nice. It's not like my whole life. It's just beautiful. That's something Michelle Obama and I share, is a love for vegetable gardens. Oh, here we go. Another neti pot call. Just what I need. Okay, if you got disgusted by the last neti pot call, I'd recommend that you put it on mute for a minute. Frankie in Chicago, go ahead, please.
You know, the neti pot thing. My mother says, oh, my boyfriend uses a neti pot. Try it. It works. All it did was irritate my mucous membranes more. Not only did it do that.
Why are so many American men suddenly sticking teapots in their nose?
I have no idea. But
what did the Indians run out of a market for teapots, so they came up with this neti pot concept?
It just doesn't make sense.
I mean, next they'll sell them for, ears, an ear. They'll call it an ear. You get an earache, stick the neti pot in your ear. They'll work your way down the body.
Yeah, the whole allergy thing. I understand people's problems with allergies and they're looking for alternatives. But as far as taking salt, basically, it's pouring it into the...
Now let's start. Salt water is very therapeutic for irritated sinus cavities, incidentally. It's just a matter of whether or not you want to apply it using a neti pot or just simply buy a little spray at a drugstore. I mean, I prefer the more, let us say, westernized approach, which is a little bottle of saline solution.
The amount, they tell you to put in there.
Oh, it's horrible. No, it's disgusting till it runs in the back. It's graphically disgusting. This is something that I have to cut off at a certain point. Because once it goes in the back of your throat, you can't ever eat food again. Nothing ever tastes right. Once you're on let's cut it off right there because I can get even more graphic. And I don't really mean to, just for shock value. You want to talk about peach trees or Osama bin Laden? Sacramento, Terry, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, stop with the pots. Yeah, your peaches have peach leaf curl that has nothing to do with the Bay Area. It's all over California fruit orchards this year because all the rain we had. And the best thing you can do is just keep your trees healthy, put compost, or I don't do organic, fertilize them to get those leaves growing.
Oh, so in other words, even if we spray them, it's the fruit's shot.
Yeah, well, your fruit's not shot. You got to get your leaves growing again.
I get it. So what should I do right now? What are you saying? Just keep the tree healthy with fertilizer and let it grow itself out is what you're suggesting.
It's going to drop all those leaves, and what you need to do is just put just light fertilizer every couple of weeks. So if you're doing the organic thing, get fish emulsion or whatever those guys say to use.
No, God, I got to go kill fish and grind them into the fish powder. All right, well, good. Thanks for the tip. You're an actual farmer. That's good enough for me. I had prize apricots. I have a small hillside orchard in one of my properties, and it was a prize 25-year-old apricot orchard when I bought it. And I'll tell you, each year it's gotten worse.
Savage.
Ahmadinejad, who I call the Hitler of Iran because he's the Hitler of today and a friend of the Obama administration. He's been running circles around Europe and the fools in the Obama administration. And of course, even though he's repeated that he wants to wipe Israel off the map, and his chief religious fanatic has said he wants to kill all the Jews of the world. Wake up, liberal Jews. And he said, no, I'm not going to try to develop nuclear weapons. No, not at all. Well, joining us now to see reality with me is Ken Timmerman, executive director of the Foundation for Democracy in Iran. Ken, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me back on.
So what was the result of the latest round of negotiations with the Hitler of Iran?
Well, what I find most outrageous is that the Obama administration, in 3.5 years, has continued to buy time for the Iranian regime. In all of these negotiating sessions, and there have now been 3 or 4 of them, they have essentially just agreed to talk more. The Iranians have not backed off one iota from uranium enrichment. They have not closed any of the nuclear plants that the IAEA has asked them to close down. And we find out even from the latest report from the International Atomic Energy Agency that came out earlier this week that the Iranians have enriched not just to 20%, but to 27%, which is way beyond what they ought to be doing. We are buying them time, and as every day that these negotiations continue, the Iranian centrifuges continue to spin.
Has Obama actually taken a more liberal approach with this madman than the Europeans? Is that what you're saying?
It's extremely ironic to me that President Obama has taken us back 8 years in the negotiations with the Iranian regime. George W. Bush finally convinced the Europeans in 2006 to take a tougher line, and he got them to buy in to a series of United Nations Security Council resolutions that put an increasing pressure on the Iranian regime. And they were united in doing this. The Germans were united with us. The French were united with us. The Brits were united with us. They all were. And now Obama is kind of turning back the clock And he is the soft one in the group. He is making the Germans look like they are tough on Iran. It's outrageous. It's dangerous. And it will eventually be deadly for our young men and women in uniform who inevitably get called upon to pick up the pieces when our politicians make mistakes.
Why has the world, led by Obama, continued to pacify and accept the lie that Iran is only using its nuclear facilities for peaceful purposes? We all know it's a lie.
I got to tell you, Michael, I do not understand the logic of the Obama administration. They appear to be willing to allow Iran to maintain an enrichment capability. And here's the thing that our listeners need to understand, and I'm sure most of you do, is that once you can spin these centrifuges and make uranium to 3%, you could just keep on spinning them and make uranium to 90%. It's exactly the same technology. It's kind of like giving, letting your 17-year-old kid take a Corvette out for a spin on Saturday night and say, hey, Johnny, you can drive up to 25 miles an hour, but please don't rev it up and do 80. Well, the Iranians are going to go 80 miles an hour. And if we're just sitting here and saying, please obey the speed limit, they're just going to laugh at us.
Well, you know, and I know what Ahmadinejad's ultimate goal is, Ken. Unfortunately, liberal Jews in America still support Obama, and they don't realize they're playing with the death of Israel. I have all the facts in trickle-down tyranny, as you well know.
Well, one thing, Michael, I think we have to understand that Ahmadinejad is just one member of this ruling regime. He plays a role in the regime. He is not even the key person. That's the supreme leader. Ahmadinejad will go eventually, and he'll be replaced by somebody else just as bad. The goal of the regime is to become a nuclear weapons state, at the very least to become a virtual nuclear weapons state, so they can be the predominant power in the Persian Gulf. They claim that they want to wipe Israel off the map. I think we need to take that claim very, very seriously. They claim also that they want to destroy America and that this is possible. I think we need to take that claim very seriously. I've been tracking, and you and I have talked about this before, Michael, Iran's development of an EMP weapon, electromagnetic pulse. That is a small nuclear weapon exploded, detonated at 200 miles in the atmosphere over the United States. And they can do this by putting a rudimentary missile launcher on board a commercial cargo ship or a roll-on, roll-off container ship. And fire off the missile 100 miles off our coast, off the coast of Baltimore, the coast of New York, or the coast of Long Beach. And that kind of attack against us, we would not be able to detect, we would not be able to stop, and it would shut down our entire national power grid, and it would destroy the America that we enjoy today.
Well, why would Obama seem to be encouraging Iran into becoming a nuclear state?
Michael, I don't want to speculate on what's inside the president's head. That would be a perilous adventure. But what I can tell you is this. As you watch his actions, he has consistently come out on the side of radical Islamic regimes. When 3 million people in Tehran were on the streets in June of 2009 begging for U.S. support, they even had signs in English so the media would get it. Obama, are you with us? And after 3 weeks, when Obama was silent, the regime finally made a play on words and said, Ubamast, he's with us. Obama is with us. In other words, the regime. Obama preferred the Islamic regime in Tehran to the people of Iran demanding freedom. Same thing in Egypt under Mubarak. Here you had a pretty much secular, authoritarian leader, pro-American, had made and kept the peace with Israel for nearly 30 years. And Obama orchestrated his ouster in record time so he could be replaced by the Muslim Brotherhood. We're seeing the same thing in Syria. This president, Barack Obama, seems to prefer Islamist regimes to pro-Western democracies in the Middle East.
And what is little Israel doing while all of this happens?
Well, the Israeli government clearly is watching very, very closely. They're taking whatever steps they can, whether they are through covert action or through diplomacy, which is public, to thwart Iran's nuclear program. You hear these reports of a new virus, the flame virus, that has attacked certain strategic Iranian installations. I am always amused, Michael, when I see these maps of that show how the Israelis are going to attack Iran's nuclear sites. And, you know, are they going to attack through the north? Are they going to take the southern route by the south? And my sense is if you see it in a newspaper, it's not going to happen. The Israelis are far too imaginative for this. I think they've got far too much talent in Israel. They have too many options available to them, for instance, such as using computer viruses or finding local groups on the ground who might target nuclear scientists to make it, how should I say, something that is does not lead to a long life expectancy to work on the Iranian nuclear program. So I would expect that they're going to use every possible means that they can to slow down the program. But there could come a time if the Iranians actually move towards a deployable or a buildable nuclear weapon that the Israelis will have to take other action.
Do you expect an October surprise of some kind involving Iran, attacking Iran prior to the election? I do.
I am very worried of an October surprise, and I'm worried about how it could play out and how Obama could use that to springboard himself to re-election and to get the American people to forget to get the American people to forget his disastrous handling of the economy and of our nation for the past 3.5 years. I'm worried that it could either be some pinprick U.S. attack that Obama coordinates with the Israelis, so it looks like he's doing something finally, or that the Iranians could launch an attack that drags us into a war.
Do you think the right people are advising Romney on Iran right now? You think Weakney knows what's going on?
My good friend John Bolton is advising Mitt Romney. My good friend John Lehman, and both of them have endorsed my candidacy to run for Congress in Maryland's 8th District against Chris Van Hollen, who is one of the biggest supporters of the pro-Tehran lobby in Washington, who's in bed with J Street. He's in bed with CARE. They have endorsed me. I've been working with them. I trust them. I think President Romney is President Romney to be. You see, there was a Freudian slip for you. Governor Romney is getting great advice on Iran, and I have much more confidence in him, certainly, than I do in Obama.
What happened to all the Iranian protesters who Obama so cruelly abandoned a couple of years ago? Where are they?
Well, Iran remains a tinderbox. We don't know what the next spark will be, where it will come from, but those young people are still there. They are still as dissatisfied with the regime, but they're also watching and waiting to see what Washington is going to do. They saw that President Obama wasn't going to help them, and I think there's a pretty realistic pullback on the part of young people in Iran. They're saying, well, if we're not going to get any help from Washington, let's just kind of bide our time and keep from getting whacked until something different happens. I think they're waiting for a change of regime here in the United States before they take more dramatic steps of civil unrest. I think that we ought to be helping the pro-freedom movement. I have said repeatedly that if I am elected to Congress, I will make that one of my top priorities to help the pro-freedom movement inside Iran. I think we owe it to the young men and women in uniform in this country to do everything possible to eliminate this threat, the threat of a nuclear-armed Iran, before we send our sons and daughters over there to take it out.
Ken Timmerman, thanks for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me on to talk about this. It's really important. That's why I'm running for Congress. You can find out more at timmermanforcongress.com.
I'll be right back. It's The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Over 30 can't multitask. They can't multi-hear. They grew up doing one thing at a time. The younger generation can do multiple things at a time, but all wrong. They're able to multitask, but they do everything wrong. They can't write a letter correctly. They can't type correctly. Nothing. I never saw anything like it. People do everything wrong. No matter what you ask people to do today, they can't get anything right, particularly if they're under 50. They can't work. They don't want to work right. I was raised in a time when the work ethic was king. I mean, you had to work. You had to work, and you had to do a good job. It was an honor. it was a mark of a person's self-respect, dignity, manhood, to be a worker and a good one. That's how I was raised. It was drummed into me from early childhood. And then you wake up and you see children, they won't clean a boat, they won't clean a house. I mean, pay them. You can't find an American kid, a white kid, to do any kind of work. They won't clean a boat, they won't clean a house, they won't babysit, they won't walk a dog. They're a bunch of spoiled drug addicts. An entire generation of children raised to think that the world owes them a living, and they walk around with a snotty attitude that I don't know where it comes from. You know, I got to be harsh about this. I watch, you know, I largely live in the suburbs. I stay in the city part-time, and I move around through many locations for obvious reasons. But a lot of my time is spent in the safe white suburbs, so to speak. I mean, let's call it like what it is. No matter how liberal they say they are, they don't want anyone around them who doesn't look like them, even though they vote lib. That's the way they are. And you watch them in their child raising, and sometimes you have to shake your head. Whether it be a young mother who probably is on a prescription drug herself, and all she's obsessed with is her abs, feeding her child a jelly donut and a cocoa in the morning on her way to school, along with his Ritalin tablet, knowing nothing about diet and a child's behavior, nothing. And she doesn't want to know about it. All she wants to know is to get the brat into school so she can go have the affair or go to the exercise class for 4 hours. Whether it is a pair of white parents who are a little older than I was when I had my first child, taking a brat to a restaurant, 8, 8:30, 9, I shake my head. When do they stay home with them? When do they stay home? Don't they do homework? Isn't there a safe time to go to a restaurant where you don't have to listen to? And the crayons. Fine dining around a kid with a crayon or a coloring book? I can't even digest when they pull out the Crayolas. Why are they in the restaurant with the child, with Crayolas, educating them? And they always do it to show how smart they are and the child is. Last night I went to a place. It was downscale Italian. I figured I could escape it, but no, it got worse. There was a father at an adjacent table. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. I had to take the food home. I had to leave. Now, he wasn't a bad guy, don't get me wrong. But I had to listen to an entire lesson. As the children are eating, he says to them, during the Cuban Missile Crisis of the 1960s, who was president? I'm not making this up. And the children have to repeat to the father, who was the attorney on the U.S. Supreme Court? And I'm trying to eat. I couldn't even get a piece of bread down my gullet. So as I said, I packed it up and left. What is this lesson at a dinner? Why do I have to hear it to understand you're a smart, liberal man and you're intelligent and your children are as bright as you and they're going to learn to screw everyone around them when they grow up like you do for a living with your law degree? That's what you're telling me? That they're not going to be like the ordinary person? They're going to learn how to screw everybody just like daddy? Why do I have to hear this? Is there no hour when there are no children? Now, look, I love children. I raise children. But at a certain point, so I say to myself, don't they do homework anymore? I know they don't babysit. I know they don't wash a car or a boat for a buck. They don't do chores. Do they do homework? No, unless the homework is how to put a condom on a cucumber or how to learn how racist white people are. Or to learn that marijuana is healthy for you and tobacco. I mean, tobacco is bad for you. Marijuana is healthy for you. So is there no time of day? When I raised my children, if we went into a restaurant and the kids started to make any kind of noise, I immediately picked them up and I went out of the restaurant. I talked to them. I said, look, there were other people. And even if they didn't understand me, I said to them, you can't make noise in the restaurant. There are other people eating, and they want to have a nice dinner. So please, if we go back, you can't make noise. You can't make one of your famous cocktails out of the salt and the pepper and the ketchup and the mustard and the soy sauce and mix it and pass it around. No, you can't make that famous cocktail that you two like to pass around with each other because I'm liable to puke on the table. That's in the Chinese restaurants. They used to make a cocktail. Do you have any idea that that's the reason the ancient Sumerians stumbled upon beer? It was because of times like this. When you have a situation like we have today, that's why the ancient Sumerians stumbled upon beer. You know how the story goes, don't you? Well, I may as well tell it's as interesting as any, having studied this for years, all of this stuff. Our theories, no one knows. I mean, the ancient Sumerians look like my uncles to me. I mean, I see the pictures, renderings of them. I guess I descend from Sumerians because they all look like my relatives, but The way the story goes is somebody ate some grain, some type of wheat dish or whatever in the area there, the Mediterranean basin, and they spat it out. I know it's disgusting. They didn't eat it all. It's like, ugh, this is disgusting. Again, another night of grain? I'm sick of grain. I don't care how healthy they are. I don't want it. I'm a pew. Bah! And they spit in the plate, but they were starving. Days later, they went back, and there was nothing to eat but the grain that they half-masticated and discarded in the plate. And the guy ate it. Ugh, disgusting. I ate this guy. And guess what? His wife didn't look like she had a mustache for the first time in 25 years. His ugly little children looked like he could deal with them without wanting to throw them out of the cave door. In other words, he got drunk. Why? Because the half-masticated grain matter that he spat up fermented in the cave during that period that it was sitting there, and it was produced some alcohol. And that's apparently one of the theories as to how alcoholic beverages, better known as adult beverages, developed in history. Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I'm glad I could share this moment with you. Another moment in Savage history on the Savage Nation. It's actually probably, according to what I've read, true. And by the way, guess which culture? You're not going to believe this one. This is a real, you're talking about historical ironies. Take a guess which ancient peoples first developed wine from the grape. Buzz, answer. The same country that's now dominated by the invader from Turkey, Iran. In other words, the ancient Persians, allegedly, or it is thought historically, were the first viticulturalists on the planet. Well, take a look now. You got an invader from Turkey named Ahmadinejad, who apparently, according to Iranians, is not even of Iranian descent. He's an invader.
Savage.